Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 5 of week number 22, studying Matthew chapter 22. As we begin, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. Two new books are available for download at that page. The first book, Receiving the Gift of Salvation, and the second one, Surrendering to His Lordship. Download both of these books for free today and be blessed when you read and study them. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. Text IGHFREE to 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org to get started, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call toll-free 1-855-IGH-6988 for a free 30-lesson series. Or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com. Let's continue our study of Matthew 22. Here's where we were as our last broadcast concluded. In Matthew 22, verses 5 and 6, the invited guests disregarded the invitation and they mistreated the servants. We have already observed that this was the second time that servants went to the king's pre-invited guests. Guests were reminded of the extensive preparations that were made. Everything was prepared, so come to the wedding, with an emphasis on the word come. But instead of fulfilling their original intent to come, the guests ignored the invitations, mistreated, and even killed some of the king's servants. We ended that last program with this thought. When a scribe came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go," Jesus responded, saying, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Matthew chapter 8, verses 19 and 20. Why would Jesus respond that way? The answer? Jesus wanted this man to understand that following him required a substantial investment. It was a commitment of time, of energy, of effort, and of resources. It was a commitment that involved everything about that man's life. Everything about what it meant to be a soul created in the image of God. That thought was repeated in the next few verses when another disciple said that he needed to bury his father first before he would follow Jesus. Jesus' reply, more direct but just as powerful as his previous reply, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Matthew chapter 8, verse 21 and 22. The word follow, not coincidentally, but intentionally, was a command, and it was an ongoing command. In a related context, Luke 14, starting in verse 15, Jesus spoke about the kingdom in a similar way. A certain man gave a great supper, and he invited many. Like the account in Matthew 22, he sent servants to those invited, saying, "Come, for all things are now ready." But they all began to make excuses. As in this Kingdom of Heaven parable, the Great Supper illustration depicted circumstances that were not normal. Kingdom of Heaven parables and illustrations repeatedly portrayed God's call, God's invitation, if you will, to reach out to lost souls. In those parables and illustrations, there was never a reason, never an excuse that justified not responding to the call in the way that the central figure, here the king, expected. Matthew 22:6 tells us just how far these invited guests went to avoid going to the wedding of the king's son. They seized the king's servant. The meaning, they took them by force. They treated them spitefully, meaning boastfully, with the distinct intention of insulting the king. The word translated as spitefully, a form of our word hubris, meaning excessive pride or self-confidence. That's reflected in Bauer's definition, to treat in an insolent or spiteful manner, mistreat, scoff at, insult. As you read through the parable, you are probably thinking, who would kill someone's servants just because they invited you to a wedding? But that's the point. The over-the-top response of those invited was intended to parallel a spiritual principle, a spiritual rejection. God, the host of a spiritual wedding, invited Israel to a great feast, a truly incredible blessing. God did so through the repeated messages and calls of His prophets, often called My servants the prophets. For example, 2 Kings 9:7, Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 25. But generally, Israel did not respond to the prophets. Remember the second parable? The vine dressers, keeping the landowner's vineyard, a figure paralleling God's planting of Israel as a vineyard, compare Isaiah chapter 5, the vine dressers in that parable, they beat, they stoned, and they killed the servants who came to collect the owner's fruit. When servants were sent the second time, they met the same fate. And when the owner sent his son, the vine dressers killed the owner's son. The behavior of the wicked vine dressers paralleled the behavior of Israel toward the prophets. We will see more about that in just a moment. Jesus' second parable in this three-part series was not just some innocent fairy tale with an obvious moral to it. It was an illustration, a parable that closely paralleled the real sinful attitudes and the real sinful actions of the religious leaders who previously, in this immediate context, as well as elsewhere, challenged, rejected, and denied Jesus, therefore God's authority. And the moral, the lesson that this second parable conveys, more than the obligatory moral at the end of one of Aesop's fables, it was an indictment of their haughty attitudes and their self-centered self-righteousness. What we see in the second and third parables in this series, the persecution of God's messengers, syncs with other texts that we find in Matthew's Gospel. We see that reflected in the following two passages. First, in the Sermon on the Mount, the first of the five major sermon sections in Matthew. And then second, we see it in Jesus' extended denunciation of the religious leaders in the next chapter, Matthew 23, the prelude to, if not part of, the fifth major discourse of Jesus in Matthew. In Matthew 5:12, we read, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This appears at the end of the Beatitudes, a series that starts with, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," and ends with Jesus' kingdom disciples' readiness to withstand all the persecution that the world and the forces of evil would throw at them. The parallel, the persecution that you are about to face, was just what the prophets of old faced. They had to withstand persecution, and so must you. What we see in this wedding feast parable about the mistreatment of the king's servants reflects the persecution and the death of many First Testament prophets. Next, consider Matthew 23, starting in verse 29 and going through verse 36. Jesus speaking says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous and say, 'If we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets.' Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation." Jesus' public condemnation of the religious leaders was broad in its application. It addressed their self-righteousness, their affinity for outward, showy demonstrations of their religion, but it also addressed the inward hatred of what was truly good. And that inward hatred of what was truly good was overtly demonstrated by their religious ancestors who beat and who murdered the prophets. Jesus' point, you are just like your fathers. You have rejected John's teaching, and now you are ready to kill the very Son of God. Again, what the parable of the wedding feast reveals comes across as a very thinly veiled historical overview of what Jesus explicitly addresses here in Matthew chapter 23. Then, in Matthew 22:7, in retaliation, the king punished the first round of invited guests. The text tells us that the king was furious. He sent out armies. He destroyed those who murdered his servants, and he burned up their city. Again, this sounds so outrageous. But this parable was not just a story, not just an illustration, but a figurative literary tool intended to convey reality. This never happened as part of an actual wedding feast. But within the parable, the wedding feast was part of the vehicle to show just how inappropriate it was, first, within the parable, to reject a simple invitation to a wedding, and then second, as the parable represented reality, how truly inappropriate it was to reject God's gracious overtures, God's repeated gracious overtures. That the king was furious tells us just how disappointed God was that Israel as a whole, and religious leaders in particular, disdained his prophets and their message of repentance, a message that mirrored what John first came preaching, and a message that mirrored what Jesus first came preaching. That the king sent out armies to punish these guests shows us that God will ultimately punish those who have not only killed his prophets, but who have rejected and who have killed his son. And finally, note that the king would burn their city. The religious leaders took an inordinate amount of pride in the temple, which Jesus predicted would be destroyed. They felt the same way toward the city of Jerusalem. But in the following chapters, Jesus not only spoke of the destruction of the temple, but the end of Jerusalem's prominence in God's redemptive plan. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew chapter 22. This reminder as we conclude, to start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.